Let us pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you send your Spirit now. Give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of your holy word. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture this reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, a feast of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our gospel reading comes this morning from John chapter 20, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to our God in prayer. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I was leading our weekly chapel service with the children here at the Child Development Center. If you did not already know, we have about 80 children, infant to pre-K, who are in this building Monday through Friday as part of our CDC, Child Development Program, our center. And once a week, the older children gather together in chapel for a short chapel service. In this particular chapel service, I'm telling them the story about how when the time Jesus sent disciples two by two into various towns. And I told them how Jesus said to the disciples, "You need to tell each person, each house you go to, peace be on this house." And then I said, "Let's practice." And so they all took their fingers and we walked to the houses like this. We knocked on the front door, say, "Okay, what are we going to say when the door opens? Repeat after me. Peace be on this house. Peace be on this house." And they just yelled it out. It was great. And so we kept on walking to the next door and we knocked and the same thing. Peace be on this house. But this time I noticed that some were saying something else. So we went and visited another house. And this time I leaned in as they repeated, "Peace be on this house." But when I leaned in, I noticed that some of them were not saying peace be on this house, but pizza beyond the house. And they truly thought this is what I was saying. I mean, with enthusiasm, declaring what Jesus has said is important. Pizza beyond the house. And so I guess the message becomes there's something, you know, wonderfully tasty just beyond. And as you can imagine, I never got that lesson back to where I had thought it might go. But it struck me later the perfect irony in what they heard me saying. I was sharing a story where Jesus tells his followers, look, show up in the cities and pronounce peace. The word in Hebrew, shalom. It's a thick word and a really important one for us this morning. To say that blessing over a person, over a house, is to say well-being, health, justice, friendship, wholeness in all your relationships, human flourishing in every aspect. This be on your house, right here, right now. It is a present promise for the house. What the children heard me saying was that the good thing is beyond. A future promise beyond the house. Don't worry about the house. Just get to the beyond. That's where the good, tasty thing is. I'm sure I garbled my words, and so I hardly blame the children for hearing pizza beyond the house. But I do think we as Christians have a tendency to have a similar mishearing when it comes to the Easter message. We gather to hear this Easter message, and for some, what is heard is Jesus died and rose again, so if we believe in him, one day we can go to heaven. What we hear is a message about one day beyond the house of this world. And yes, Jesus does give us eternal life in God, for he has conquered death, and we name that boldly. But the Easter message also has everything to do with right here, right now, this house, this day. And I think our passage points us in that direction. Did you notice the setting of this morning's passage? It's dark out, Mary's weeping, and when Mary begins talking to Jesus, she supposes he's a gardener. She makes the assumption because the location of this tomb is in a garden area, and so she sees what she expects. It's a small detail, this garden, but a critical one that John hopes will catch our ear. In this case, we're meant to recall another garden prominently featured in Scripture. In the beginning. And we see the Garden of Eden, this space teeming with life, most notably a place where God walks with humans and sin and death are not known. Eden is Earth's reality if shalom was true everywhere. Of course, humans have long turned their back on this reality. This is much of the story of Scripture, a people who choose their own way over God's shalom, a people who cannot live in peace with one another. Sin and death grip too tightly. But here in John chapter 20, we are in a garden, and God is walking with a human, and death is not present. And we say, what's going on here? This is like the shalom of creation, but now it's like a second creation, a new creation. It's notable that the Apostle Paul, when talking about those who follow Jesus, he puts it this way, as you heard in the assurance of pardon. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. Not that person's a little better, a little bit more moral, a little bit wiser. He uses creation language. In Christ, new creation. In Christ, transformed by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Elsewhere, Paul talks of our lives bearing good fruit, again, pulling from that garden imagery to suggest just what God is doing. And so John wants us to note the garden setting. It signifies that Mary stands at the dawn of new creation. Death has been conquered, the power of sin broken. Those were taken upon Jesus on the cross and conquered in his rising from the grave. And so the very two things, sin and death, that kept us from the goodness of God's shalom, they're broken. And we see new creation breaking forth on this house. Mary, of course, can't see any of this. What she sees is that it's dark out and there are tears, and she needs to get on with the next thing. And so very practically she asks, where's the body? It's quite possible to walk on holy ground and totally miss that fact because the darkness is so real. Many of you know back in January, I went with a group of pastors to the Holy Land, and we spent the second week of our journey in Jerusalem. And it is a place of much holy and religious devotion. But if you simply walk around the city for a while, you can quickly become blind to this. Because you would readily notice, as I did each day that I walked the city, the amount of walls that have been built dividing Israeli and Palestinian communities. And you'd notice the frequent barbed wire and the surveillance cameras and the checkpoints and the many young soldiers with rifles. And you'd see the different colored license plates signifying different levels of citizenship. And even if you knew nothing about the political situation, you would feel the tension, the distrust. And when violence breaks out or an agreement is broken, it becomes especially dark there. And understandably, you could become blind to the fact that you walk in a holy land. But then it struck me walking those streets, that happens everywhere. Because the truth our passage declares is that we walk on the holy land of new creation this day, and yet how often we manage to be blind to that, especially when division and distrust grow. We may not know Jerusalem's walls, but we come from marriages and families where the walls have been built high, and it pains us. We come from workplaces where trust is not known, and it weighs on our experience there. We have hearts that have been hurt, and so we fence ourselves in for protection, even at the cost of bitterness and cynicism. We live in a city where distrust continues to thwart progress with the public schools and affordable housing. And of course, we live in a nation so often divided and mistrusting along those red and blue lines. And the thing is, if we walk along these streets of division and distrust for a while, and that's all we know, we can begin to think that's all there is. We become blind to the holy ground of new creation that's unfolding within and without, because God is faithful. Instead, with Mary, we see a gardener. We see only what we would come to expect having walked these streets. And Mary remains blinded by the darkness, and still she hears her name, Mary. And she finally sees Jesus for who he is in her midst. And what a thing when the living, risen God knows you and calls you by name, for to be known is to be loved. Have you heard his voice? At one point, while walking the streets of Jerusalem, we wandered just outside the walls of Jerusalem's old city in this place called the Garden Tomb. It was found in the 1800s. And while no one can be certain, there is certainly some good reasons to believe this may well be the place where Jesus was entombed and rose again. In other words, this may be the place where our passage this morning took place. And we arrived to this garden tomb on a particularly frigid day. It's winter there. And we began to walk the large garden area. It struck me immediately, even in this winter of Jerusalem, they managed to keep up the garden. It is remarkably beautiful. And they've created these meandering paths to walk along so you can go slow and consider the garden and experience it. Eventually, you wind your way to the tomb itself, where they've placed a wooden door that reads, "He is not here, for he is risen." And I walked into that empty tomb, and I will tell you honestly, the tomb was intriguing, but not moving. It didn't necessarily give me a sense that Jesus is alive. Of course, even in our passage, it took a voice, not just an empty tomb, to awaken Mary. And so I was not moved until our group gathered in the center of the garden and we had this small worship service. And at one point we sang the lyrics from the prophet Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Singing of God's calling us by name while in that garden. During this, I remembered looking up, and just above the garden tomb area in the distance, I saw more of the barbed wire on the high wall. And it struck me in singing those lyrics and staring at that sight, this is one of the central reasons we gather from Sunday to Sunday in worship. We gather in worship because it pulls us from the streets of division and distrust. It's not escapism, because the darkness is still in sight even as we sing. The darkness still wrestles within even as we sing. But worship gives us the space to slow and consider the garden in which we walk. And it's in worship, I think, that uniquely we gather alongside people who know our names, which is to say, people who know us for our weaknesses and our giftednesses, and who love us with the same unconditional love given us by God. And gathered among such friends, by grace, we hear our name. Whether we hear it from Jesus through scripture, through song, maybe it's through someone sitting alongside us in the pews, we hear it. And for whatever reason, the intimacy and love known in hearing our name breaks the blindness, and we know again the ground on which we walk. We know the deepest reality of this earth. We're in an unfolding garden where love and life win. Now, the church is hardly without its own issues of division and distrust. It's not like we gather in some sort of friendly perfection. And yet, by grace, somehow God is so faithful in showing up where two or more gather. And so here we are, two or more in Jesus' name. Have you heard the voice of the living God this day? I think we step differently into the winter and the wires and the walls when held by that love. To be sure, there are days when we gather in worship and still we don't see any garden. Not in that situation, not in that area of our lives, our family, this world. Which is why Jesus taught us to pray as we pray every week in worship, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that new creation would break into the impossible soil of this earth and our hearts, that God's shalom would land this earth. Notably, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer about just get us out to the heaven and the home beyond. It is about renewing this home until God's shalom is pervasively known. I wonder where we need that prayer today. Where do we need God's new creation to break forth? Where would you name in your own lives, your family, this city, this nation, Kenya? This past Good Friday, this building had people coming in and out all day. Many came for the blood drive we had in the fellowship hall, some bringing snacks and cookies, some to volunteer, many to give blood. Still others were coming through the doors to come to this sanctuary for the prayer vigil we had going throughout that day. And at one point it hit me what a remarkable scene this was. In this space right here, there were folks praying for the families and the congregation and the city and the world, "Thy kingdom come on earth" kind of stuff. And then directly below this space, our congregants from Grace Covenant, City Church, First English, St. James, St. John's, Sacred Heart, all of them coming together to give blood that others might have life. And so you've got folks all day long giving in prayer, giving in time, giving of their food, giving something of their life. And I thought, now that is one beautiful garden. People made alive by Christ and giving themselves for the sake of others. And then I found myself thinking this, you know, I hope someone in this community, someone from beyond these churches, might see this. Not because we need some sort of recognition or pat on the back, but because I thought, you know, if someone saw the congregation amid such giving, they may well join with Mary and say, "I have seen the Lord." And they'd be right. For to see the body of Christ faithfully giving itself is to see Christ, is to see hope, is to see thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There is such immense hope when the Lord is seen amid the darkness. It is interesting, immediately following this morning's passage, Jesus visits the disciples for the very first time after being resurrected. His first words, "Peace be with you. Shalom be with you." Not a promise about the heaven beyond, though certainly Jesus' promise extends into all eternity, but fundamentally, peace be with you. Heaven, shalom, land here amid the walls and the wires and the wailing. And so I invite you to receive anew the Easter message from our risen God who has defeated death and defeated sin. Peace be with you. be with you. And may God's peace go through you, that all might exclaim with Mary, I have seen the Lord.